Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Careful Clean, serving the Bay Area with exterior cleaning services, pressure washing, solar panel cleaning, and wood restoration services for residential and commercial clients. Careful-clean.com.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Running is a big deal in California, and there were a lot of Californians who went east for the Boston Marathon yesterday. Steve Pulver of San Diego finished the race just 10 minutes before the explosions. Pulver says he wouldn't hesitate to come back next year. He doesn't want to give the person or persons, plural, behind this attack the satisfaction of ruining a long-standing and beloved celebration.
Boston is a very special race, number one, and number two, they'll deal with this, you know, very safely. It'll probably be one of the safest races in the world now. I don't want to succumb to the terrorists to try to ruin it.
Were you in the race or someone you love? Does this kind of attack make you think twice about joining any crowd anywhere? We're collecting stories online. Look for the link at californiareport.org. Meanwhile, in Sacramento, gun control measures continue to wind their way through committees, or not. AB 760, nicknamed the nickel-a-bullet tax, got shunted into the suspense file yesterday by the Assembly Committee on Revenue and Taxation. AB 760 is one of more than two dozen gun control bills, but author Roger Dickinson of Sacramento says this one is special. The taxes would restore mental health programs for children. Programs specifically focused on preventing violence.
The others are more regulatory, I would say, in terms of whether it's registering if you're buying ammunition or limiting the size of magazines.
The measure is opposed by the National Rifle Association, among other groups. They argue the tax would cost more than a box of bullets does now. A statewide ban on plastic bags has died so many times in Sacramento, you'd think it was pointless to try again. But after about 70 cities and counties across California passed their own bag bans, this year's statewide ban looks like it just might make it to the checkout line. The California Grocers Association has announced it supports the measure by State Senator Alex Padilla of Pacoima. An initial hearing on SB 405 is set for tomorrow in the Senate Environmental Quality Committee. The Senate Business and Professions Committee gave the go-ahead to a package tackling prescription drug abuse and overdose deaths. The most contentious bill would tax drug makers to upgrade the state's prescription drug monitoring program. Similar bills have expired in the past due to pharmaceutical and biotech industry opposition. But this time around, the bills got the loud backing of the Attorney General, the Insurance Commissioner, the State Pharmacists Association, and law enforcement groups. Heads up, California inventors and entrepreneurs. Did you know the Department of Defense can decide your invention is a national security threat and slap your patent application with a secrecy order that prevents you from doing anything with it or even talking about it? That story is out today from the Center for Investigative Reporting. The author is G.W. Schultz, who joins us in studio. How long has this been going on?
The Invention Secrecy Act was passed in the 1950s, so we're talking over half a century now. Obviously, at the heart of the story is secrecy. There's little the public knows to begin with about what types of patent applications have secrecy orders placed on them. What little we do know about secrecy orders is a result of Freedom of Information Act requests submitted by groups like the Federation of American Scientists. All they've been able to get are statistics annually on how many secrecy orders exist, and patent numbers and patent applications where the secrecy order has been rescinded, so we could follow up and talk to those individuals about what they experienced.
And what have they experienced? Can you give us an example?
When a secrecy order is placed on your patent, it's placed on the application, so your application can't even become a patent down the road. What that means is you can't commercialize the idea, and it undermines the point of the patent system in the first place, which is to protect an original idea. Even if your secrecy order is rescinded after a relatively short period of time, what happens is some people come to the conclusion they've lost a window of opportunity to commercialize the idea, and they've attempted in some cases to seek damages from the government. But it's a very arduous process.
What kind of patents are we talking about?
to begin with, it's a little difficult to know because we don't even know the criteria the government uses to determine what sorts of products should have a secrecy order placed on them. But we were able to track down some individuals who did face secrecy orders. And one good example is a gentleman in the late 1960s who developed a radar technology that could help track, for instance, railroad cars or product on a conveyor belt. The underlying radar technology, though, turned out, as far as the U.S. government was concerned, could also prove to be very dangerous in the hands of an enemy. His secrecy order wasn't necessarily in place for that long. By the time it was lifted, though, he believed he had lost the opportunity to turn that invention into a commercial product.
But your article also points out that a lot of the inventions we're talking about were in part financed by the federal government. Playing devil's advocate here, why shouldn't they have the control to be able to put a stop on inventions? It might hurt the inventor's capacity to make a profit, but that might not be the only issue here.
Well, first of all, when the Defense Department finances research, it's us financing research. It's taxpayers financing research. And secondly, we spoke to a gentleman who had done some work on behalf of the defense community. The defense community said, however, that it could share patent rights on what he had developed with the government so he could commercialize the idea. It was a way to create an incentive for individuals who do work on behalf of the United States to develop really useful products. However, when he turned around to attempt to patent his technology, he was hit with a secrecy order. It was in place for several years. So the incentive that the government had created became moot at that point because he was facing a secrecy order and had to hire a lawyer and eventually was successful after several years in getting it lifted.
Isn't Congress considering some new rules governing patents that are also, on the face of it, more invasive?
Yeah, there's a real perception in Congress right now that economic espionage is a threat to the United States. So members of Congress are looking at ways they can maybe control U.S. products, U.S. innovations, ideas from being ripped off, basically. So a congressman from Virginia named Frank Wolf directed the Patent and Trademark Office to at least consider the feasibility of expanding secrecy orders to cover economic ideas. What the Patent and Trademark Office did in response was ask the public what their thoughts were on that. A lot of intellectual property and secrecy experts said, well, how would you practically implement something like that? Would we hide commercial ideas in the United States from even us and not export them to other countries and enable manufacturers to make more money? There was a lot of skepticism about it. You know, what Congressman Wolf's office told us was they were just looking into the idea and looking for ways to protect against economic espionage and weren't seeking right away to implement a solution. But it did bring up the issue of secrecy orders in Congress for the first time in many, many years.
G.W. Schultz, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
G.W. Schultz covers Homeland Security for the Center for Investigative Reporting. We've got a link to his story at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Tuesday, April 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in neighborhoods at calendow.org.